Hey, what are you doing?
Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight, or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. And welcome, Earth Explorers, to X Squared Radio. We're glad you're here with us tonight. We are coming to you live from Western Kentucky tonight. Why Western Kentucky? That's a great question. Because if you'll remember, you listened to us a couple of weeks ago. We were in Salt Lake City doing the program. The reason we were there last week was to demonstrate the Sirius Energies / Global Green Cars electric car. Well, needless to say, the demonstration went great. And if you'll go to the website, you will see that that a lot of people showed up, and we were live on KSL TV. And right at this moment, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty, so we're going to change from DSL to cable. And then we'll get rid of all the choppiness that you hear. It's no problem. It's just one of those things that we encounter from time to time. And we'll be right back. Don't go away. We're going to take a quick pause, and we'll be right back. Okay, here we go. Oh, okay. All right, we're online again, so here we go. How are we going to do this? We're gonna start over again, right? I guess I'm back online. Everything is good. So here we go. We'll start over again. Don't worry about it. I don't know if you heard the intro or not, but we're gonna try it again. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Here we go. Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight, or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. And greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio. We're glad you're here with us. We're coming to you live from Western Kentucky. Why Western Kentucky? Because on Tuesday in Eastern Kentucky, we are going to be in Corbin, Kentucky, demonstrating the electric car. That is a vehicle. It's a plug-in vehicle. If you were able to get to KSL.com and put in the search word electric and look up the article on electric cars, you'll see the Geo Metro. We built it actually 15 years ago. The demand for electric cars got to where people really wanted to drive it again. So we put a paint job on it, some tires, brought it out to the racetrack, and we let some people drive it. And I got to tell you, it performed just as it did 15 years ago, and it still performs better than any electric car on the production market today. So we're going to be making a demonstration for the state of Kentucky. If you're going to be near Corbin, Kentucky, on Tuesday the 14th, you can come by and pick yourself up a free ride on the vehicle. Get yourself a picture with it. History is about to be made again. The solar wind tonight is 460 kilometers per second, and the sun is blank with no sunspots. And the proton count is very low, about 2.7 protons per cubic centimeter. Those of you that got out and saw the movie Knowing might be aware that in 2012 it is expected to be a major solar event with conflagration, 300-mile-an-hour winds and such. And part of this program is to kind of help you get ready for that. Part of the books, The Arc of Millions of Years, are to help you get prepared for that, not only awareness but also physical and perhaps spiritual preparations for that. If you're interested in picking up a copy of any one of those three national bestsellers, it's a three-book series called The Arc of Millions of Years. You can simply go to arcofmillionsofyears.com, and that's A-R-K, like Noah's Ark, and pick up a copy of these award-winning End Times books. We affectionately call them End Times books, but actually they may be Beginning Times books. Get you ready for a hopeful spiritual experience, an uplifting experience, instead of just more doom and gloom. Jupiter has radio storms, and yesterday Thomas Ashcroft of New Mexico heard one. The loudspeaker of his 21 megahertz amateur radio telescope popped and crackled loudly as natural radio lasers in Jupiter's magnetosphere swept their beams past Earth in rapid-fire succession. Electrical currents flowing between Jupiter's upper atmosphere and the volcanic moon, Io, can boost these emissions to power levels easily detected by ham radio antennas on Earth. We're glad that Thomas was tuned into that and sent us that information. Earth is being bombarded from all kinds of radiation in the universe, in the galaxy, and sometimes we get X-class flares from places other than our own sun. We have received the radiation from deep space at intensity levels that we would normally expect to come from the sun, and been surprised to glance up at the sun or turn our SOHO satellite toward it, and no solar flare, no CME, coming from another source, So we, in the first volume of The Arc of Millions of Years, we talk about a cosmic possibility of planets being ejected from somewhere in deep space from either a supernova event or an explosion of a nearby planet or sun, or being dragged out of orbit by another passing gravitational body, and that that body or that planet drifting across space as what's known as a free-floating planet, and traveling at such high speed that its light or any light reflecting off of it would only arrive here at Earth in front of our telescopes just before the planet itself arrived. So we really wouldn't have much warning, kind of like a new comet being discovered or a large asteroid being discovered for the first time. We would only have a few months' notice before something like that crept up onto our gravitational field and wreaked havoc on our ecology. Anyway, interesting theories, and it will keep you awake and keep you aware that maybe you should be about life as hard as you can get after it. because things might not be so predictable as we get close to 2012. Many amateur solar astronomers are using the H-Alpha solar telescope made by Coronado to look at the sun. It might sound like a solar minimum right now because there are no sunspots. Well, that's no problem. The corona is extremely active with CMEs, coronal mass ejections, and such. We're getting closer to 2012, so according to our books, the corona will get more and more active, and one such flare could be very dangerous indeed for Earth. A couple of weeks ago, we had Dr. Jack Turner on the program. If you didn't catch that show, you need to go back to that archive and listen to it again. He is the author of Miracles, Medicine, and Manifestation, Experiences from a Medical Professional in the Operating Room, Near-Death Experiences, Out-of-Body Experiences, and the like. We had a really interesting conversation, and something opened up a line of questions in my mind. And we're going to gain a deeper understanding of this in tonight's program. By the way, tonight we have no guest unless we're successful in reaching Stéphane Outry. He is an author in Canada who has written about the pyramids, and we're going to have him on soon. But there was a possibility of having him on tonight, so we just thought we might give a shot at trying to get him on. It is Easter Sunday, 2009. We opted to go ahead and do a program tonight instead of running an archive because in 2009, some pretty remarkable things are going to happen. We are engineering the new paradigm here at X Squared Radio. In my day job, of course, you know I'm the vice president of Green Star Products. And I also have a great desire to see new energy technology come forward in many different forms and perhaps solve our energy crisis here in this country and perhaps the world. Not only algae for biodiesel, but also cellulosic ethanol and now electric vehicles. And the companies that I'm associated with are successful in putting those things forward. And we've teamed up and are applying our joint talents toward getting that to happen. If you're interested in learning more about that, you can email me at bagnew or brooks at xsquaredradio.com. And you can also go to phoenixsciencefoundation.org, or you can go to siriusenergies.com. And that is S-I-R-I-U-S, Sirius like the star, you know, energy. Seriously. And that is meant to be a play on words, so great. Glad you caught it. So I'm compelled to provide you, the listener, a chance to call in and contribute. So the call-in lines are open all night. If you're not one of those intensely religious people, or you're not sitting in your living room floor counting Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies with your kids and grandkids, perhaps you can listen live to this program tonight. And if you're listening while you're listening, while you're working on your favorite project, or while you have your headphones on at work, that's fine too. It's not that you can't call in, but I just want to have your awareness and your great insight and your energy while we go through this. Because, you know, thinking about Easter, thinking about this at this unique time of year, our relationship with God, with the Creator, with, you know, understanding our involvement with the creative force, the creative mind, the creative energy, and for that matter, the redemptive energy of the universe. It's a good time to think about these things from a new perspective. And I say new because you're really not aware of the original perspective of this. You're only aware of the somewhat modified perspective from the Judeo-Christian world, who has crafted a wonderful story about Easter and about resurrection and about the involvement of holy beings with the
progression and origination of the human race. And I understand that. I don't have any problem with that. And I just want you to open your minds, open your hearts, open your consciousness just a little bit, and with me, consider this. So before we get started and the network fills up with listeners, I want to let you know that there are some incredible events coming up this year. And you should see yourself at these events. There are not very many. You have plenty of time to get yourself ready. The first is the H2O Live Concert, June 19th through 21st. All you have to do is click on the H2O Love Concert banner on the X Squared Radio website. That's xsquaredradio.com or x2-radio.com. Either one will get you there. As soon as you can, and get registered. Now, I'm going to describe what the event is going to be like, but there will be 26 venues around the world, including Los Angeles, Vancouver, Sydney, Japan, Australia, Sedona, Arizona, and many others around the world. There is one near you. You don't have to get on a plane and fly to Los Angeles to see and be involved in this concert. This is the largest Earth healing event in history, and we want you to be part of it. The concerts will ask their musicians to tune their instruments to 528 hertz, the frequency of love, according to Dr. Leonard Horowitz. This is designed to reprogram water. And if you want to learn more, please get a hold of them and make your plans. If you want to get a hold of us before you get a hold of them, that's fine. No problem. You can email us at brooks@x2-radio.com. That concert takes advantage of the idea, the concept, the scientifically proven phenomenon that sound and human intention have a programming effect on the water molecule itself. Does it change its chemistry? No, it's still H2O. But somehow water is able to form complexes, little geodesic domes, little six-sided, seven-sided crystals in the water. Not solid, mind you, just associations, sort of like a programmed liquid crystal or a hard drive of some kind. We're just now beginning to understand it, but we know enough about it to know that if we apply our intention in close proximity to water, the water will pick up that intention and deliver it. One of the unique effects that happened is there were some I'm not going to mention any country. We'll just call them Asians. We're planning to develop a devastating biological weapon and release it in the West. During that planning meeting, they were talking about the weapons, the effect of the weapons, the effectiveness of the weapons in a conference, in a private location. And the only thing they were consuming was water, bottled water. About 1.5 days into the planning session, as they were meeting with top-level scientists, biologists, virologists, and government officials, is that the entire meeting, the entire conference full of people were rushed to the hospital to be treated for poisoning. Testing their systems, they found no poison. They meticulously checked over every bottle of water. Nothing but water was in the bottles. The water had been programmed with the hatred and the intention of murder and mayhem, and had reacted to that intention. And then upon being consumed by the very people who were planning such a devastating event, the water itself poisoned them. So from many of these events and clinical studies, we have discovered that programming water with good intentions does have a quantifiable effect. Of course, the work of Dr. Emoto will be covered in the concert, And I can tell you, in my associations with the planners and the thinkers and the dreamers of this concert, it is definitely going to be the Earth healing event of the millennia. And we want you to be involved in it. William Henry will be speaking in Los Angeles. I will be speaking in Vancouver, B.C. And the musicians are all top-notch. And it is going to create an event that you will be able to tell your children about, your grandchildren about, and it will be one of those things that the Earth itself will punctuate its evolution with. The second event is the Earth Transformation Conference in Trout Lake, Washington. If you want to know more, go to eseti.org. That will be July 4th weekend of this year. I have attended several years to that, and I can tell you it is a mecca, a birthplace of awakening. Very inexpensive to attend this conference. If you have ever wanted to see a UFO, this is the place. This is the place, I'm telling you. I've never seen one before I got there, and I have never not seen one every time I go. So that's it's a real hot spot. The third event is the 2012 Quantum Leap Conference in Florida in late July. Now, the first event was several years ago. It was very small, only attended by about 250 people. The most recent 2012 Quantum Leap Conference was in Burbank, California in February. Not only was it a record turnout, but the attendance and the message was very auspicious indeed. This is not like your typical 2012 event put on by some amazing beings. Most of these events are filled with doom and gloom and fear, and you get all excited about making an immediate purchase at buyabunkernow.com. The 2012 Quantum Leap event was put on by Sri Ram Kaur and his wife Kira. The message, the theme, was overwhelmingly positive. That's one of the great reasons why X Squared Radio was so interested, because the results are always positive here on this program. And I say the creation, the attendance, the activity of this was very auspicious, because the host of UFO Hunters on History Channel was supposed to speak at this event. Now, not to say that he personally is negative or conspiracy theory oriented, but at the last minute he was called away to Poland to look at some very compelling UFO evidence in a Nazi cave that had been discovered in Poland, leaving an immediate opening. I didn't know about the opening, but I wrote Sri Ram Kaur and said, you're going to have an opening, and I'm positioned and motivated to speak in whoever leaves in their place. And my email and his announcement that he was leaving arrived virtually the same day. So I was able to speak at the conference, and really felt like a difference was made. Not only because, you know, I thought my content was good, but also because the synergy of the arrangement was so perfect, and the people that I met were so amazing and so enlightening. The message, of course, was very positive. The vendors were also uplifting. The music was inspirational and spiritual. This is what the shamans are saying is the true spirit of 2012. Mankind is getting ready to make a huge step forward in evolution. My request to you is to be a part of it, not just an observer. You should be there with the energy that will make it happen. All you really have to do is stay tuned to this program, and we'll tell you the exact date. It's definitely, definitely affordable. It's one of the lowest cost events that I've ever seen, and I promise you will come away not with just a workshop high. You will come away with energy and knowledge that change you. And after all, isn't that what we're all looking for? The idea is to have enough of these in enough places that that we have access to this higher energy. The fourth event is the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition. Now, we're waiting for a confirmation from the charter company as we speak, and we may even get it this week. Here are the problems, the challenges, the results of over 3 years of work on this expedition. The Russians will not allow any ships but theirs to venture north of the Siberian Islands. We have made several attempts to charter other ships with more capability, but not possible. Hold on. Because there's some territorialism going on, and the Russians have even announced that they're coming up with an Arctic military force to vigilantly protect their, quote, natural resources. We're not there for that. We're there to see if there's an opening into the inner earth. And we kind of feel like we were invited, so. And they feel it, too. So they've been cooperative, but nevertheless, getting a firm confirmation on the charter has proven much more difficult than we originally thought. This is a tenuous and adventurous voyage, to say the least. Now, how can you participate? Well, you can send in an application and see if you have the skills to make the voyage team. You can also make plans to log on to the NPIEE website, that's N-P-I-E-E website, and watch the event live on webcam. That'll be a very nominal pay-per-view where you can tune in literally 24 hours a day and see what's going on the ship. And you will have, we'll have two-way communication. That is to say, you'll be able to make suggestions or acknowledgments on things that you might see on film that you think we might have missed. The idea is that you will be there with us, and that's the most important thing. Our goal is to make sure that all of the information gets out, that everyone sees what we see, and when the films come out, you know, by solemn promise that we will honor those things that we pick up. Now, there's a lot of scientific work that's going to be done. We'll be sampling seawater, both at the surface and deep under the ice. And we'll be looking for marine life, chemistry changes, crystallinity, salinity, pH, all kinds of things that may point to the evidence of another ocean underneath the crust, perhaps flowing through into our ocean, full of its own biology, full of its own chemistry. Obviously, taking seawater samples off the coast of North Carolina isn't going to be representative because it's going to be highly diluted in any new biology that makes its way through that opening into our ocean is going to be almost impossible to sample. Although we have recently seen many once in extinct life forms showing up in fishing nets. So there is the idea, the evidence, the occurrence of more complex life being able to make it at least far enough to be captured, but certainly microbial life like plankton or different algae or even small shifts in chemistry, because that ocean is not exposed to a sun like ours, would be impossible to find in any other place except very close to where the actual opening occurs. And you'll see all that. You'll see what we see, and that's the idea. So those are the four events. We want you to stay tuned, put some budget away. If you have some old boat in your garage or an old motorcycle frame, sell it. Capitalize it. Get yourself mobile so that you can get to one of these events. It's important that you be there. You can also make plans to stay up with us by, of course, staying tuned to X Squared Radio and help us out with our affiliates. And we've got some really neat ones. My favorite new one that has come up is a marvelous new business plan idea. You are familiar with the Red Box, right? You know, that sort of street side, inside the front door market vending machine where you can rent a movie for a dollar a day. You just slide in your debit card, pull out the movie, and watch it, and then return it. You don't even have to deal with humans or subhumans for that matter. The company is called Campus Book Rentals. And what they've done is they've taken the idea of the little DVD movie red box and they've taken it to textbooks. That's right. And so if you have a kid in college like I do, those textbook expenses can get, you know, $400 or $500, $600 a semester. Why not cut that cost down? Why not get a hold of Campus Book Rentals by clicking on the banner at X Squared Radio and seeing if they have your textbooks for rent? Right now we have a caller on line two. Ramon, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's everything? I actually wanted to discuss two topics, same topic, but two different things in the topic. First question, did you receive an email I sent you?
Did I receive the email from who?
From myself.
Today?
Subject of, I sent one today, and I sent one, I believe it was Tuesday.
Oh, you know, I haven't been on my email that much here. I don't think I've received it.
Yeah, you would have remembered.
It would have been under your name, right?
Yeah, you would have remembered. Well, let me start with the first one. I found something on YouTube from, it was Alex. Are you familiar with Alex Coyner?
No, I'm not.
Alex Coyler supposedly has contacts with these aliens called the Andromedans, and he's had contact with them ever since he was a kid, and kind of like Billy Meyer, for the exception he doesn't have like all the videos like Billy Meyer, and his contacts are of the Andromedans. So anyway, he has this video of supposedly the Gemini looking at the Earth, and you see the Earth like spinning, and you see the hole perfectly in the North Pole. Like, I've never seen more better evidence. And it looked like a real NASA video. Amazing. Like, you see the clouds moving, you see the hole in the North Pole.
I think I did see that email, and I did look at it. It was kind of an oblique angle of the Earth, and it was quite a distance away. But clearly there was at least an opening in the clouds. It looked like it was a couple hundred miles across. Is that the email you're talking about, the YouTube?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, we have a pretty good close-up. It was one of the last, if not the last, satellite photograph that made it out of NASA. I think it was kind of a copy of a copy of a copy that was languishing out there on the net. We were able to get with some pretty reliable sources and check out the validity of this picture. But we have it on the website at phoenixsciencefoundation.org. It is one of those pictures that just blows your mind. You can't imagine somebody on Earth looking at this photograph and saying, "Oh my gosh, what is that?" It's breathtaking. And if you want to see it, just go to phoenixsciencefoundation.org.
Yeah, I showed it to my girlfriend. She was just like, "Oh, that has to be fake," which is the reaction you get from everybody looking at that. But
yeah, somebody at Ramtha School of Enlightenment told me I needed to take that picture and start printing it on T-shirts and selling it, you know, trying to get people to, you know, walking down the sidewalk to look at the T-shirt on someone and say, "Oh my gosh, what's that?" Try to get something going.
That must be wrong. They made a mistake. The second thing is, I don't know if you've thought of this, and I don't know how much of a difference. There was an experiment done, first of all, I was reading a book by Fred Allen Wolf. Most people would know him from What the Bleep Do We Know. He was one of the physicists on there. And he was talking about this experiment that was done in Harvard in 1959 by Pound and Rebecca, where they set one clock in the basement and one clock in the penthouse tower. and they measured 1 billion for the second in difference. So, to the best of my ability, I'm not a mathematician. I tried to calculate. I looked up picture that said like the Earth's crust from the surface to the hollow Earth is 800 miles, and I calculated all that together, and I got something like either I'm trying to remember if it was 1,000th or 100th of a second in difference between the surface and the hollow Earth. So I send the best I can to you the calculations. Basically, what I'm saying is, if that experiment was correct, there's a time difference. Now, would the time difference make a huge difference if we was to visit there and then come back? How much time, you know, would elapse or not elapse? Have you or anybody on this voyage ever thought about that?
Yes, we have. We think about that all the time. There is a difference in the passage of time between your head and your feet relative to the Earth. It has to do with gravity. Gravity affects time. And, when you're approaching a gravitational body, time begins to shift. Of course, the most extreme examples that we pontificate on are black holes, areas where gravity is so intense that light cannot escape. And there are small black holes, which are about four times the size of our sun, worth of matter, crunched down into a small space, all the way up to what we call supermassive spinning black holes, which may be the center of every galaxy. And certainly there is an infinite range of time passage between us and the black hole. Of course, as you get closer and closer to the black hole, you yourself, there is not any change in time. But relative to the rest of the universe, it is quite profound, the difference. Now, one might think, gee, this really doesn't make much of a difference, but it does. Here's a dilemma that came to us. I have a friend, it was a high school buddy. His name is Jim, and he got a job with Hughes Satellite. We both went to school in Southern California. I took off in the Air Force. He stayed behind and worked for Hughes Satellite. And so his job was to assist NASA in putting up the GPS satellite systems. Now, the problem is that we are acutely aware of this difference in time based on placement and relative distance from a gravitational body. And so when they looked at the idea of putting satellites that were in orbit or geostationary outside of the planet and then relaying that information back to an infinite number of locations on the surface, i.e. your TomTom or your individual cell phone with GPS capability, when they looked at space in the classical way, that time was relative to this, they could not make the system work. It didn't make any sense to them. It was so complex, it would never work. Somebody in Los Angeles would get a completely different GPS signal than, say, someone in the Appalachians of the East Coast, just based on relativity to satellites and distance from the center of the Earth. So it wasn't working. So what they did is they went back to the drawing board and they used Lorentzian approaches where it basically says everything is constant. And guess what? The system worked. So the complexity of calculating and operating within a varying time base, it overwhelms us sometimes. But if we just simplify everything and work with it from the standpoint that space-time actually bends, then it works just fine. Now, the other thing to think about is that in order to have a geostationary satellite, we have to find the perfect point where we're going fast enough in orbit that we don't break orbit, but we can actually stay over the same spot of Earth. That happens to be about 23,500 miles out into space. The interesting thing about that location is it is not the expected gravitational point between the Sun and the Earth. It's off by several hundred kilometers, unless you consider that the Earth is hollow. Then it's right on the money, because the gravitational center to which these satellites are attached is not the center of the core of the Earth. It's the center of the crust. Interesting, huh?
How many miles is that?
It's several hundred kilometers. I think it's like 560 kilometers, which would be, you know, pretty accurate.
The one last thing, several years ago, before I've always thought, like, oh, yeah, UFOs, they gotta be real because it's so big, and I never heard of Hollow Earth or any of this. 5 years ago, I had a dream that I was like going through these caves, and all of a sudden, I end up in this place, and it's like the Old West, except I was way down below, and it's the Old West, and I'm looking, and these people are still living like in 1860 something. And there's like a TV program showing Lincoln with his famous speech, and I'm just like, it's like 1860 something. So I wake up and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, that was the strangest dream. And it's like, well, maybe like, and then that's where the idea came to me. Like, time has to be different, and if the dream has any basis in truth, then it would be 100-something years in difference. But from the best of my knowledge of the calculation I was making, it wouldn't be that huge a difference. If you had to guess, you would say it would be, what, 5 minutes different, 10 minutes difference?
Between what two places?
Between the surface and the hollow earth.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it would be that much. You see, as you approach the center of the earth, the gravitational force begins to weaken, and so thus its effect on time begins to weaken. So actually the maximum effect on time would be in the center of the crust, not in the center of the Earth. So, as I said, it gets immensely complex, but it does make mathematical sense to say that this point, which in physics it's called the Lagrange point. This is the, well, there was an Italian mathematician. His name was Joseph Lagrange, and he calculated both in spherical mathematics and in planar mathematics that there is a point of equinox, a point where, let's see, where the gravitational pull of two large masses cancels each other out. It's sort of like a void point, a point at which you're neither going or coming, and it takes zero energy to stay in that spot. You don't need a rocket keeping yourself above the Earth, because you're absolutely at that point between Earth and the Sun where it takes zero energy to move the planet or move the satellite, and so it can stay stationary. The interesting thing when you run the math and you discover actually where that point is, because Lord knows we have a lot of satellites up there in that arc, in the geostationary arc, it's called. That's why when you get satellite TV, you just point your satellite toward the southwestern sky, and these satellites are sitting out there in space. So once you put your satellite TV, or in the old days it was the big satellites with the LNA on it, low noise amplifier, you never had to move it because the satellite didn't move. The interesting thing is that although it didn't make any sense to them, the calculation worked out with not the center of the Earth, but the center of the crust. And that really supports Hollow Earth theory big time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. I'll keep listening offline.
Well, we are excited about this upcoming expedition because, you know, it's really the first time that anyone's ever gone to this remote location and taken measurements like this. It's never been accessible by sea before. So now it is, thanks to or because of global warming, we can actually break through the ice and get there. So thanks very much, Ramon, for the call. Always enlightening to have your input. And I can't tell you, we wouldn't have a program if it wasn't for Ramon, because he always calls with great questions and great insight. So thanks a lot. So I also wanted to keep you aware of another affiliate that we recently added. I'm sure you've been to a conference or two. If you haven't, this would be a great year to start, and I've given you three really good candidates to go to. One of the things that you see from time to time, you'll see a booth, a vendor, and they'll have a strange camera. And what this camera is capable of doing is photographing your aura, the color of your aura. Now, you know that, or at least you have heard, that we have several layers of body around the human soul. Of course, we have the physical body that, you know, scratches and dents and gets broken from time to time. There's also an energy body around the physical body that most people, I'm going to say the vast majority of people, cannot see with the unaided eye. However, with the right photographic capability, and mind you, that's smack dab in the middle of digital camera technology, and also certain film emulsification technology, that energy body around the soul, around the human shape, can clearly be seen and be documented. The interesting thing is that the colors of this aura are representative of the energy level of the being itself. That is to say, if you have a very red aura, that connotes certain capabilities. If you have a very yellow or golden aura, the same thing. White, green, lavender, blue, they all have a sort of indication of what your mood might be, what your psyche might be. And it also is a good indication of perhaps your energy health. You may have an area of your personality or your energy or your psyche that needs to be worked on, that needs to have some therapy, that needs to have some music, or perhaps a different diet, or perhaps a different area of focus. And lo and behold, the aura will change. Well, if you've seen this camera equipment, then you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, you need to click on the aura imaging banner at X Squared Radio. It's on the right-hand side. It shows a woman, an animated banner with a woman putting a crystal on her head. For a long time, this camera equipment was by special order only. And it was only those that were just really knew where to get it and knew how to operate it. But Aura Imaging has come up with some fantastic software that makes this Aura Imaging so simple and so automatic, shall we say, that with just a minor amount of training, you can become a literal expert at reading other people's auras. And if you have any kind of gift toward healing or toward counseling, this would greatly open an avenue for you to help and heal others. Now, I do see people at conferences and different meetings of different types actually earning a living doing this. So, you know, yes, it could be a different income stream for you, but many people, I have to say, heal for free. They heal without compensation because it is their calling. It is their being on this earth. And to them, you know, my hat is off to you. But if you have ever wanted to own this technology for yourself, if for nothing else, put it on your laptop and look at yourself through your own digital camera as sort of a biofeedback method. Yes, it would be maybe a little pricey to do, but, you know, just for yourself. But if you really wanted to use it as a tool, now you have the chance to get this for yourself. And what we want to do is encourage you to try it out. So click on the Aura Imaging banner at X Squared Radio and check it out. And, of course, we have our reliable ones. They've been there for years. They are not only a good standby, but a good staple. If you own an inkjet printer, and I suspect that you do, I have one here and two at my office because one does a better job at scanning than the other one. The consumables can be quite expensive. That is to say, if you go down to your local national chain store or supermarket or computer store and you try to purchase inkjet cartridges, they can get expensive, especially if you have one of those HP printers that has five different cartridges, you know, four colors and black, or you have the all-in-one cartridges like come with Canon or Lexmark. You can spend upwards of $80 replacing both of those cartridges. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. In fact, you don't even have to go to the store anymore. All you have to do is click on the 123 Inkjets banner at X Squared Radio. And not only will you be stunned at the prices on these original equipment inkjet cartridges, but every time you order, not only do you get free shipping, and the free shipping is fast. You may order on Monday and have it on Wednesday. It's very, very fast. But you get a free chance to win an inkjet printer. Now, how cool is that? They also carry toner and peripherals. And they always have marvelous specials going on at 123 Inkjets. Believe me, I've been using it for 2 years. I've been using it at the office. It's super reliable. They never make a mistake. And the quality of the products is as good as you would buy from the factory itself. Why throw away money? Don't pay those high prices for inkjet cartridges anymore. Click on the 123 Inkjets banner. Now, tonight, and beginning in the next hour, we're going to get into a subject, and the reason that I'm bringing this up, I have to tell you, I was listening to another talk radio program during the day. Normally, he is oriented toward political commentary. He's quite popular. He also has a television sequence to his talk radio program. And conservative talk radio has its place. It keeps... It's probably taken the place of free press in our society so that all sides can be told freely and openly to keep our politicians honest, shall we say. But this particular day, and I believe it was Friday, this particular talk radio host was talking about Easter. And, of course, he was talking about it from his point of view and colored by his particular religious training, which I totally respect, but I also totally had a different idea about it, and so that is what I'm going to share with you in the next hour. It's Easter, and you're about to have an alternative Easter message, and I think it'll be one that even you, a frequent listener to X Squared Radio, might find very interesting indeed. In fact, it may open your eyes, it may open your mind, it may open your heart, and it may in some way inspire you to turn your feet a little different direction and head off in a way of your own making instead of one that has sort of teleologically been designed for you and handed down to you. And we'll do that in about 5 minutes. We'll be back right after this quick musical break. Keeps your mind sharp and your psyche open and prepare you for the marvelous week that you are about to have. We'll be back after this. Missy Higgins and her wonderful voice and her great music. Some music called Galaxies Away. So if you're not getting all 3 hours of X Squared Radio, and believe me, we want you to get all 3 hours, some of these segments will be rebroadcast on other networks, and we appreciate that more than you know. But if you don't play all 3 hours, sometimes, you know, people get left out, and what we want to make sure is that you know this is a three-hour program, and it's on every Sunday evening, and if you're not getting but 1 week a week, and you miss one, you can always go to xsquaredradio.com and click on the subscribe link and get yourself into the archives, because there are over 200 hours of archives there with, you know, well over 150 guests, which is a lot. And we speak to the best experts on the planet about various things, great subjects, all. And, you know, a lot of people tell us that we have a way of interviewing here that enables the guest to tell their whole story. We don't attack our guests. We allow them to make their case. And then you, the listener, with your own intellect, can decide whether, you know, that's something that makes sense to you, that they're actually saying something that resonates with you, or not. And, you know, we totally want to leave that open to you. So we give you the choice. We give you all the information to be able to make your own informed decision. And because of, you know, various scientific and engineering backgrounds, we're able to ask questions that other, say, more broadcast-oriented hosts might not be able to, might not be capable of asking, unless somebody, you know, prompted them as to what to ask. And, you know, we don't want to make anyone out to be have a shortcoming of any kind, but we think that we do a better job of interviewing these guests, and we certainly hear from the guests themselves after the program that they had a wonderful time, that they were able to get into things they always wanted to get into with their books, but their publisher said, no, don't talk about that, that's too complex for the reader, or too complex for your listener. But we have a way of making the complex understandable. And so we do it. And when you come here, you don't have to, of course, because it's free to listen live. But we have certain affiliates that we'd like you to visit from time to time. And they sell the best products in the world and at great prices. And then you don't have to pay that sales tax. And oftentimes, most of the time, you get the information with free shipping. So you really can't go wrong. One of our favorites is Academic Superstore, and I think you may have heard of them before, but if you haven't, you have certainly heard of Adobe. You've heard of Microsoft. You've heard of Apple. I'm sure you've heard of those names. Well, Academic Superstore sells software and computer peripherals at amazing discounts, and I'm talking like 85% discounts off of software like AutoCAD or if you are into statistical software, there are different programs that you would never see at Office Depot or Office Max. But you'll find them at Academic Superstore and at huge discounts. And if you're a student, every penny counts. And these are full versions. They're not demo versions of any kind. They're fully capable software out there to help the brightest minds get the best tools. So click on the Academic Superstore banner at X Squared Radio. That helps us. Doesn't cost you a penny more to do that. And it also helps you by saving you thousands of dollars on software and hardware and various items like that. Now, this hour, we wanted to kind of bring you an Easter message. I think it's most important that you have a different perspective, that it's not just necessarily a matter of faith or a matter of indoctrination, but a matter of opening your mind and applying your spirit, yourself, as a sovereign being. You see, the universe is the mathematical sum of the intentions of every sentient being in it. The sooner you realize that, the sooner you realize that you are actually a component of this immensely complex mathematical equation, and that your involvement in that equation is actually creating the universe as we see it. Yes, it is infinitesimally small in and of by yourself as an individual, but you can apply your intention, you can apply your force, and you can make a huge difference. If you don't believe me, then read the words of Christ himself. We're going to get into that in about 2 minutes. Don't go away. Don't change a thing. Here at X Squared Radio, we often go beyond the imagination of the listener. You know, imagination is more important than intelligence, said Einstein. So here we go. Go ahead, take your seatbelt off. You're perfectly safe here with us. Here we go. All right, regardless of whether these sentient beings are awake and aware or not, the mathematical formula that makes up the universe cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. And it cannot be denied. It cannot be usurped by any force, not even God or a whole host of gods can change that. The free intention of a being is the charge and right of that being to exercise it to his or her will. Now, should God change the intention of a single sentient being, the entire universe would cease to exist. The faith that holds energy together to form matter would be destroyed forever. And that's right out of the scriptures. God must let us fail, love, die, and even kill for whatever reason we choose. The purpose of this program tonight is to awaken the reader to the idea that everything, past and future, can be affected by the intention of a single sentient being like you. Of course, should millions or even billions of sentient beings, such as humans, for instance, apply their intention in a focused and coordinated manner, there is absolutely no limit to what could be created, or, for that matter, destroyed. One thing must be made absolutely clear. The beings of Earth have a choice. Don't think for one more moment you have to march inexorably down the path of eschatology to Armageddon. When we're done with this program tonight, you will all realize that we can all take a new path to a new world far away from the woes of the prophets. There is no blasphemy in this. I can assure you this. There are thousands and thousands of self-help books on the market. There are even more self-help programs on the air, on television, on radio, blogs, teleconferences. There are so many they can't be counted. And they may each have their merits. But you want the tools you need to personally stop the cycle of failure in your life and move toward success, don't you? That's what we're here for. That's what we're going to try to do. This program tonight is going to try to open some perspective for you so that you will back off from that idea that someone has designed your life for you. Someone out there chose where it is you're going to be born, under what economic circumstances, and with what color of skin. And because of those choices and determinations, you are handed a life over which you feel you have no control and no choice. Well, we'll try to bring you to this realization as easily as we can. But there isn't much time. There's not much time. So before you go back to work, finish listening to this segment. There is a need for enlightened and awakened people producing positive energy and success. This planet needs thousands of you. Millions of you would be better. Not as one homogeneous force, but as a body of individuals, sovereign and imaginative and full of love, doing what it is they love doing. So in here, at X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future, you may learn how to access that life energy. Yes, there are other teachers out there. There are people making a living at doing this. Take that as perhaps a judgment. How valuable is it to you to see the words, Jesus is Lord, on a business card when you're getting ready to buy tires for your truck? Think about it. And you'll also learn that we often set up patterns in ourselves. When a person fails at something, they often say, well, I will never do that again. Or they may declare, I will never allow that to happen again. When in fact, they have already sent out the energy to guarantee that they will in fact do it and have it happen again and again and again. They may proceed in business or love or in any pursuit of happiness to the same place, the same point in time, over and over again, and fail. Most people will say something like, well, the powers that be just don't want me to have that. And another favorite we hear is, well, if it is meant to be, then I guess I'll be successful. And if it's not meant to be, well, then I guess I won't. The notion that the universe has a destiny for each person from which they are powerless to deviate has been the ploy of governments and religions since the dawn of time. It is also false. The first thing a person must remember is that they are eternal beings having a mortal experience. You are not the calcium and protein filled with water that warms your bicycle seat. You may have been born like most mammals, spewing amniotic fluid and gasping for air and reeling from the shock of evaporation against your skin. You may feel your world as a cold or hot thing of pleasure or pain through the billions of electrical sensors on your skin. You may experience your environment like a chaotic smoothie poured into your head through delicately designed tympanic stereo. But it isn't like that at all. The nano world that fits into a mere three dimensions is only a comma in a 24-volume set of instruction manuals for reality. The being that makes up the person you are is only temporarily occupying solid matter in the form of your physical body. The real you is older than you can imagine. In fact, the entire universe is folded up inside each and every human soul in the universe. It is a total agreement between every sentient being in the universe in one fluid mathematical equation. If one sentient being were to be removed from this universe, the entire composition would collapse back into the void and have to start all over again with a new total set of intelligences in agreement. So if you ever look in the mirror or look down at your hands or do some introspective reflection and consider, even for a microsecond, that you are worthless or that you are trash or that you are filthy rags before some intelligence in the universe, please consider this. You must realize before the end of this program that you are Source. You are a God. You have the seed of greatness and glory inside of you, not to rule or lord over the masses, but to serve. Imagine that, a God in service instead of a God at the head, ruling and commanding and condemning and blessing. That's who you are. Religions have been working since the dawn of civilization to build and control congregations, making themselves wealthy beyond imagination, by telling people that they cannot go to heaven unless they are members in good standing of their religion. They sing about love, but they preach one universal message: fear. Even in the Judeo-Christian documents, it states clearly that you must work out your salvation with fear and trembling before God. It just is not true. Fear is around 40 times more powerful in energy than love at manifesting the future. Here's an example. A young mother who had terminal cancer approached a dear friend of mine who was a Catholic priest. For 16 years, he was also president of the Divinity College, and he was the doctrinal advisor to the Pope for nearly a quarter of a century. I think the man knew what he was talking about. His opinion was highly valued. She came to him because she was bewildered as to why she was going to die. It wasn't fair. She had prayed every day since she was a little girl, after her mother died of cancer, that she would not get cancer. With the kindness of an absolute saint, my friend said, "My God, woman, I would be completely shocked if you had lived your life thus far without getting cancer. You manifested it with your own fear." The universe does not discriminate. This much is true. This is an irrefutable, universal fact. It is without hyperbole. It is a postulate, an axiom of the universe. Whatever energy is sent out into the universe from a sentient being will vibrate everything that will sympathize with that energy. It cannot be any other way. If you send out fear into the universe, then products of fear are what you are going to reap. If you send out products of love, then likewise, that is what you may reap. I have heard it said in ancient teachings that it does not matter how much people love you. It only matters how you love others. And that's true. I've also heard it said it doesn't matter how much you love others. It only matters how much they love you. That is a false teaching. That is putting your finger in the wind like a politician. That is taking polls. Oh, gee, I'm about to have a news conference. Okay, advisors, what is it that people want me to say? Well, 62.3%, Mr. President, say that if you say this, they'll be in favor of it. And so he alters his message, not because he loves them, but because he's more worried about how they love him. It's called campaigning. And it is the bane of civilized worlds. What matters most is how you love others. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. One word of great advice here. Even Jesus had enemies. In order for you to work this law, in order for you to take advantage of your now new knowledge that you are part of this grand mathematical equation that summates and truncates and differentiates the energies put into it to a dynamic result. In order to take advantage of that to its fullest positive effect, you are strongly advised to master loving everyone. Now you might say, how is that possible? How can I love that smart-ass boss I have who tells me that I'm worth nothing, that I'm not paid to think, I'm paid to work, who takes great joy in discovering that I was 45 seconds late, who says he regrets putting a write-up or a reprimand in my record, but one cannot help but see the tiny smile at the corner of his mouth as he does it. How can you not lay awake at night and fester pus-like hatred toward this being? That is the bane of any civilized world. It starts small like that. That little energy that makes your heart beat so hard it feels like it's going to jump out of your chest. It's that hatred that brings that cold sweat out on your brow. It makes you avoid his eyes as you walk by him the next day at work. It is that energy that I'm talking about that resonates with the universe and creates the failure that you have become. You have to master loving that person. You have to master a constant state of forgiveness for that person. And do you know what happens in the light? The darkness goes away. Keep in mind that this is not possible if you do not do one thing first. You must love yourself. You know, when Jesus was teaching, he didn't have email. He didn't have mass communication. He didn't own anything. He didn't travel very far in his teachings. But he gave three basic commandments in two statements. I'll start at the back. This is the second of two great commandments Jesus gave the world. He said, "Love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And notice the huge difference between this commandment and the other Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments mostly begin with, thou shalt not. This commandment begins with, thou shalt. Thou shalt, that is kind of a commandment. That is kind of a strong advice, an admonition. And maybe that's what we're doing here tonight. But also notice that the book I'm speaking of was recorded in Greek. And with Greek logic, one needs only realize that the actual precursor to loving your neighbor is to love yourself. It's right there in the statement, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In Greek logic, that means love yourself first, and then you can love your neighbor. That being the ultimate key to the universe, we will endeavor to lift you to the point where this is possible. If we can accomplish this one thing far and wide enough, wars will end forever. That means that we can take a good eraser or a good can of whitewash and we can eliminate the word Armageddon from our future history. You, being this eternal being, have eons of experience. Do you know that? Do you know that by the time you learn to speak using language instead of the pictures and telepathic force that is natural to you, you have forgotten who you are. You have forgotten where you came from. You have forgotten all of that experience. And you will spend the rest of your life trying to remember. That's the most important thing we want you to do. When you read the scriptures, when you open the Bible, when you open the Book of Mormon or the Popol Vuh or the Koran, or you examine the I Ching or the I Ching, however you want to pronounce it, what you will discover is that what's going on is they're trying to get you to remember who you are, who you were, what capabilities you had. After you learned to speak, you forgot how to think in pictures, in forces, in colors and sounds. You converted everything to print, and it truncated your ability to converse, to communicate. You know, we don't realize it, most of us, that it isn't the words that you say so much as how you say it. And sometimes it isn't even how you say it. It is the nonverbal communication that you have, how you cross your arms, how you hold the posture of your body, whether or not you look that person in the eye when you speak to them, whether or not you tune out everything except that being with whom you are communicating. For that 60-second period, they are the only person in the universe. And for that 60 seconds, that person will feel love like they've never felt before. I'm not talking about the attractive kind of love, the kind that procreates the species. I'm talking about the kind of love where you spiritually open your arms and wrap them around that being and let them know they are important. They are worth it. They are beautiful, and you see them in there. That's what I'm talking about. A person gets communication like that from the guy at the mini-mart on the corner, from the guy who holds the flag coming up on a construction site on a highway jammed with road rage. And everything from that point forward changes for the positive. That experience that you have means that you have learned many things through those experiences over countless mortalities of one kind or another. Although all experiences are for a person's expansion and growth, they can also establish patterns or habits or what we call scripts that form blockages in the flow of energy. You may actually have an allergic reaction to what I am saying tonight. You may have your hands over your ears right now saying, no, 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 I was taught that if I don't have faith, I'm going to hell. I'm going to perpetually be burning in a sea of molten lava, ever consumed and never die, but live in misery forever. I'm going to be blocked in hell and not be able to see the face of God or my grandchildren or those who brought me into the world. This is the fear message. This is the one that keeps you coming back to the plate and dropping your wages into it. This is false. The construction of these blockages or mirrors is done by the individual, by you. They form a sort of echo wall that short circuits the life force in you over and over again. The presence of these wall surfaces act like a mirror reflecting the life energy instead of letting it flow through to fulfill the person's dream. Now let's talk about that word just for a few minutes. I often ask people, what is your dream? What is your dream as you're sitting there listening to this broadcast tonight or in the middle of the day while you're sitting at your computer working on AutoCAD drawings or some accounting spreadsheet? What is your dream? I have hired hundreds of engineers over the years. As engineering manager or plant manager or launch manager, I often assemble a team of multidisciplinary skills to be able to pull off the launch of a new automobile or a new product or resolve some medical instrument problem, such as a recall. And in my interviews with these people, sometimes they get questions they don't expect. You know, they've gone to the coaches, they've read the books, they've gone to the internet sites and seen, oh, gee, what's the answer to this question? Where do I see myself in 5 years? What's the answer to that? I ask them, what's your dream? What? Come on, you're an engineer. You have plenty of math classes. You have plenty of design skills. You've been involved in other launch projects before. What are you working on in your garage? What are you working on in your attic or that back room or your barn? What is your dream? In all of those interviews, I have never had one single solitary person say, my dream is to work here. They've all said, well, you know, funny that you should mention it. But I have this idea for a magnetic motor, and I've been working on it for like 5 years in my garage. And every time I get some spare change or an unexpected tax refund check, I go buy another component. I take another stab at it. Or I like to restore old Mustangs. Or I like to fish. Or I like to develop generators, free energy. Something they're working on. That's their real dream. And if I determine that that dream is in alignment with what I want to assign them to do, they're hired. If I see that that dream is what is foremost in their life and it's going to pull them away from what I have to assign them to, I'm probably going to pass on them. I've had individuals of all kinds of capabilities, language abilities, colors, shapes, sizes, creeds. That one question is the one that determines whether they are involved in life or just a spectator. We want those that are involved. We want you to be involved. And if you're having trouble getting through that, you can always try clearing. Clearing is not what you think it is. I don't care what kind of bill of sale you've been sold, whatever incense, music-related color kind of yoga thing you've been taught, it doesn't work. Clearing cannot be done in an auditorium. Clearing cannot be done in a one-size-fits-all pre-recorded program. Clearing is a one-on-one session with someone who is skilled at asking the questions to get through those mirrors and those walls that you have built up to try to connect you with those memories that you have lost, that you're unable to get to because now you speak English or you speak Spanish or you speak Swahili. Because you think in words instead of pictures, instead of forces and energies and sounds. All that memory is in there. All that memory is in your soul and locked up in the universe that you are. All you have to do is remember. In the Christian world, they talk often of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a spiritual witness. He is the comforter. He is the second comforter. He is the inspirational force. He is the teacher. But his only role, every single time you read about him or her, is to bring to your remembrance all things you have only forgotten. When a person's life energy is allowed to flow freely, his or her intentions can be fully empowered. Do you know what that word means, empowered? In Japanese manufacturing, we call this judoka. Judoka means that any line worker has the authority to stop the process if he sees that quality is not being maintained. That's empowerment. One of the things that almost killed, in fact, it probably has killed, the domestic automobile manufacturing process, is that only the supervisor has the authority to stop the line. That means if something's going wrong, if something doesn't fit, if a bolt has been dropped down the throttle body into the intake, if a gasket is missing, if a color is wrong, if a piece is broken that's in the bin to be installed on the vehicle, they don't have the authority to stop the line. They have to put the part on. They have to send it out the door. It has to go to the dealership. And if it's not caught at the dealership, it has to be sold to the consumer. And the consumer has to bring it back to the dealer for repair. With judoka, the smallest, most insignificant, ignominious line worker can pull the cord and stop the line. My floor carpet is 1 centimeter too short and doesn't cover the seat frame. I know someone will probably never notice this, but there's 3 screws missing underneath the rocker panel, which will later cause a rattle in the vehicle. I ran out of parts. I had to go to the bin and get some more, and during that time, 3 cars went by. No one will ever notice. That man has the authority to stop the line. You are now empowered to make sure that your life goes forward with quality. You have the ability to stop the line. The intentions of a human being are the most powerful creative forces in the universe. In fact, they are the creative forces in the universe. That means, if you ever wondered about the identity of the Creator, take some serious time and look in the mirror. Look into your own soul. Manifestation is the literal creation process conducted by a human soul or a sentient soul. Each soul has all the potential and tools of godhood built into it. You are not filthy rags before a god. You are not insignificant, and you will never strap a bomb to yourself and walk into a pizza parlor and destroy yourself for anyone else's ideology. All a person has to do is remember who they are, and that their potential is absolutely unlimited. Then that person needs the toolbox to do the work of creation. That's what this program is about. There was a book published not too many years back called The Secret. It also became a film. I think the film came before the book. It was part of a revolution in awareness and enjoyed, I have to say, in fact, many people say, the most amazing marketing and advertising efforts in the history of the self-help genre. It was unbelievable. This little book, without too much substance, but a lot of flair, a lot of momentum, took the world by storm. It was everywhere. It was at every bookstore. It was in Walmart. It was in Kmart. It was everywhere. Every airport had it. Even the celebrities got involved. And it started out as a real estate self-help manual to help people sell houses better. And it leaked out. And it got better and better and gained more and more momentum. But the neat thing about it is it got people familiar with the law of attraction. Yes, it attracted the most dynamic lecturers and showmen and show women to help explain the benefits of the law of attraction. But after reviewing history since The Secret was published, we were urged to publish the tools necessary to unlock that secret. That's the thing. The tools were missing. The idea that you could cut out a picture of something and with magnets attach it to your refrigerator and look at it every time you went for a bowl of cereal or another slice of lunch meat, and that somehow that thing, that picture, would magically manifest itself, left a lot of people disappointed. The secret taught you to open all avenues so that the universe could bless you, including playing the lottery. Go buy lottery tickets, it said. At least then the universe has the ability to make you rich. Write yourself a check, whatever amount you want. Write yourself a check for $5 million. And then tape that check right to your computer monitor and look at it every day. $5 million made out to Brooks Agnew. Cash. Yeah. Sounds like it would work, huh? Millions of people were convinced the law of attraction was functional throughout the universe and would apply to anything they wished to accomplish. Although that might be true, they lacked what they lacked with the tools to meet the conditions of the law. They lacked the inputs to the equation to make it work. Yeah, they put their pictures up on the refrigerator doors. They dreamed and they hoped and they wished. But not enough energy could be mustered to turn the planet. That's why we're here. That's what we're going to do in the year 2009. That's what this resurrection power of Easter is going to mean to you from this point forward. I can't give you all the details tonight because it's only a 3-hour program. But believe me when I tell you it is vital to the condition of the Earth that the planet achieves a critical mass of cleared and functional souls at the empowerment level for Earth to survive. So that's why we're putting this together. That's why we want you to know that there's a way for you, even though there isn't another person outside your family or those with whom you directly work that even know your name. They don't even know you're alive. Oh, yeah, you move around and breathe and stuff, but you don't affect the universe, according to them. I think you do. I think you do because you're here. You're here now. You're listening to this program. So let's go back to the question. What is your dream? Think back to the time you were 8 or 9 or 10 years old. What did you want to be? Was it a fireman? Was it an astronaut? Was it well defined then? Perhaps not. Are you happy doing what you're doing? Are you happy being what you're being? Are you hoping for some day when your ship will come in, when your 401k will be worth enough that you can thumb your nose and walk out the door? Are you playing the lottery, hoping beyond hope that that is your retirement plan? Are you hoping for next summer vacation? Are you dreaming about the time when you and your friends are going to break away and take that Caribbean sail cruise you always wanted to do? I got news for you. It's already over. You've already been and back. You've already healed from the sunburn and the hangover. It's already done. It's already over. Now, how do you feel? Exactly. You already own that car. You have already lived in that big house. You've already been married to that rich man and been divorced long ago. You've already had the things, my friends. Things are not important. What you own and how much you have in the bank is meaningless. Now reconsider the dream. Forget about the having. It doesn't matter. You only think that it matters. About the fourth or fifth time you wax that Ferrari, or you go through the gears of that brand new Mustang, or you climb that final hill in that four-wheel drive you've always wanted, or you race across the lake in that jet ski you've been eyeing, or you go charging up the frozen mountain without decelerating one bit in that brand new snowmobile you've always wanted. You've already done it. It's already finished. And it no more satisfies you than the dessert you had 3 years ago. So what is going to satisfy you, my friend? What is going to fulfill you? What is going to make you be the resurrected being that you were meant to be? By the way, you don't have to die to be in heaven. As above, so below, they say, as it is written in the ancient word, and you know is true. So if you work in that place that's a hell hole, make it a heaven. All you really have to start with is pouring your love into it. I promise you, the beings with whom you work will feel it instantly. It will have an effect. Now let's talk about the process of dreaming really quick. We got about 9 minutes left in this hour. By the way, the phone lines are open. I know it's Easter Sunday, and all seven of you around the world are sitting there listening live with your chins in your hands on top of your elbows, listening. That's fine. That's wonderful. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Those of you that are sitting at your workstations or listening on your iPod, plugged into your car, in the middle of traffic, then this part's for you. Dreaming, hoping, designing needs to be process. It needs to be a wave function, not a particle function. I'll be more specific. Life is like building a sandcastle. You're on the beach, plastic bucket and shovel in hand, listening to the waves, enjoying the sun, reveling in the feel of sand between your toes, and the smell of sea or lake air. And you begin scooping that sand, something happens to you. You go into another world of creation, of occupation, of creation and occupation that you don't understand any other way because you're starting with blank, wet sand. And you're piling it one on top of the other. And whether you're a sandcastle artist making a vintage Volkswagen, or whether you're just making a sandcastle as it flows, you're in the process of building something. Now, here's the contrast. What happens when you get done? What happens when the sandcastle is finished and you're looking at it? Well then what? What are you going to do? Well, I know what I did as a child. I jumped on it. Or I planned in advance, and I built it close enough to the waves the waves took it, washed it back into the sea. In fact, one of the neat things to do was to make the sandcastle strong enough that I imagined it withstanding the waves, but it never did. Finishing the sandcastle is kind of a letdown, actually. So it is with life. It isn't the finishing of the sandcastle that is so satisfying. It's the building of the sandcastle. The ancients say that once you have put your foot on the path, you've already completed it. Walking the path is the goal. We call this in the law of attraction, in the equation, the definition, the postulate, the axiom. We call this being. That you are being a person, being a force that you want to be, that makes you happy. And the process of this occurring is called doing. Two different aspects. Being is kind of like meditating. It's not like being a spectator. It's like being an involved designer. The reflection, the thinking, the meditating process, the realization that you are the builder of a sandcastle. You are the teacher of children. You are the planner of new projects, whether it be automobiles or houses or landscaping or sewer pipes. Whether you are an integral part of a manufacturing process, grabbing up a bolt or a screw and putting it in repetitively over and over again, grabbing a piece of chrome trim or bucking a rivet or applying paint, you are being something. The idea is to not look at it as though you're screwing in screws all day, but building a car. The difference is between two men laying bricks side by side. The story I'm reminded of is a pastor who is adding on to his church. Excited about the prospect, he can't help but review the construction process. So walking down the line, he comes to the first bricklayer, who is just doing an amazing job. I mean, he's just flying. He's never seen anybody move so fast. The mortar is just disappearing off the batter board, and it's the bricks are going up like magic up the wall. Amazing the skill is. Stopping and asking the man, "What are you doing?" He says, "What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm laying bricks." "Very good. Good job." So he meanders down the line and around the corner and comes to the next bricklayer. He, too, is laying at an incredible speed. But there's a difference. There's a poetry in the motion of his hand. He scoops up exactly the right amount of mortar, applies it to the bed where the brick is going to lay, the end of the brick, and lays it in place. Hardly any mortar needs to be scraped off, and the brick fits exactly to the string line. Not a wasted movement, not a sweat droplet on the man's brow. More like a song or a ballet going on. And he stops and asks, "What are you doing?" And the man smiled and looks over his shoulder at the pastor and says, "I'm building a church." Both men were laying bricks, but one was being a bricklayer, and the other was being a church builder. Two people asked on their perspective of life, one a pessimist and one an optimist, sitting in exactly the same reality from our point of view. The optimist says, "Wow, we live in the best of all possible worlds." And the pessimist fears that's true. The being is what I want you to think about this week. You have been resurrected, and you didn't have to die. You have all the knowledge that you've had your whole life, all the experience of your 20 or 30 or 40 or 90 or 100 years at your beck and call. But now you are a conjugation of the word be, another being. And now let's talk about the doing. One cannot sit on one's front porch looking at the mailbox, hoping to win the lottery if one does not buy a ticket. The doing is the process of applying the energy, the motion, the sweat on one's brow, the dirt on the knees, the scuffs on the hands, the grease under the fingernails, the sawdust in the pockets. It is the doing that makes the being happy. Sitting and pontificating and wondering and bloviating is one thing. Not very satisfying, by the way. But the actual digging, the actual hammering and sawing and drawing and painting and welding, that brings a primal satisfaction to the soul. I say get about it. And the having will come. Or it won't. And it won't matter. It really won't matter. Because you will be, and you will be doing your dream. And you will never have to work again. And you will never worry. And maybe, if enough of you do it, maybe, we'll never have to go to war again. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Make me a witness. Take me out, out of darkness, out of doubt. I won't weigh it down with good intention. Thank you.
And welcome back to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. Third hour of a three-hour program. If you're not getting all 3 hours, please let us know, and we'll get a hold of that affiliate and fix it for you. That's within our power. We are members of the BBS Radio Broadcast Network, and we are also very proud members of the Conscious Media Network, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate the presence and the work that the folks down at Conscious Media Network do. They just really, really do a fantastic job. If you haven't been to their website, it's consciousmedianetwork.com, and they have a lot of video content, which we aspire to, believe me. We really have great respect for the work that they do down there, and are glad to be part of the program. So if you're new to X Squared Radio, and you're listening on the Conscious Media Network, we're so thankful to have you here. I can't tell you how valuable each and every one of you are to us, and mucho apreciado. And while you're a new admission to our family here at X Squared Radio, you might not know why we named the program X Squared Radio. X Squared is a function out of which every number that's placed in it comes a positive result. A negative times a negative is a positive. So that's why we say the results are always positive. Of course, there is one number placed into that function that would come out negative, and that's the imaginary number I, which is the square root of negative 1. And normally, I am not so involved in the program, and don't try to make it about me. We try to make it about the guest. We try to make it about the message that the guest has to bring to the table. That's the most important thing. And so we might ask questions that bring the guest's full prowess and full knowledge to bear. It's sort of like going to a live concert as opposed to having the album. You get to see what the artist really wanted to do with that song before they edited it down to the one you heard on the radio. That's what it's like here. We try to bring the best guests, astronomers, cosmologists, scientists, biologists, chemists, even metaphysicians and philosophers to this program, and ask them questions that allow them to tell their full story. And while you're visiting with us, you are listening on the internet. It's called webcasting, and it's really come of age. The last 4 years that X Squared Radio has been out there, our audience has continued to grow. Every month, 1,000 new webcast programs come on the net, and 1,000 leave because it's difficult to sit here in front of a microphone and share your thoughts and attract the quality of guests that it takes to keep your interest for 3 hours. Many programs are only on 1 hour once a day, and they have to come up with, you know, five guests a week. We have to come up with one. So we admittedly cherry pick. We find the best guests and we bring them on. Next week on X Squared Radio, I know you're really going to find this amazing, but we have Jose Arguelles coming on the program. Yes, the man himself. Stephanie South wrote a biography of the man behind the 2012 phenomenon. The book is called 2012 Biography of a Time Traveler. And Stephanie does a remarkable subjective work closely associated with Jose Arguelles during this entire book. They are both going to be on X Squared Radio next Sunday, the 19th. Stephanie is going to start us out, and then Jose is going to come on the program. Now, for those of you that don't know where the idea of 2012 came from, where the Mayan idea that some great cosmic or geological or consciousness change is going to take place, December 21st, 2012, this is the man that started it. And it was very challenging and difficult to get him to come on the program. He is on up in years and does not, as a routine, do interviews. Stephanie wrote the book, and she did a magnificent job. If you don't have the book, it's put up by New Page Books, and it's a great read. It is a great biography. The nice thing about biographies done about living people is you get the current perspective on the history of the man or woman. And I highly recommend the book. Besides the great philosophy and insight and the cause and effect of Jose's realization of what is going to occur on December 21st, 2012, you also get great insights into the man himself, into the fact that in every age, one or two or 200 magnificent souls come to this planet and share great things with us. And all we have to do is wake up. Well, next Sunday is a wake up. So if you're listening to tonight's broadcast, be sure to try to tune in live next Sunday and ask a question about the 2012 phenomenon. And do me a favor, do us a favor down here at X Squared Radio, because it does take, you know, money to keep the radio station alive. Even though this started out as a hobby, it's kind of grown into its own phenomenon, and we're enjoying the dream and enjoying being a talk radio host at the same time doing the day job. We want you to visit our affiliates, and we have a couple that really deserve a visit. If you live in the city, or you live in such a way that you don't have any kind of food storage, any kind of non-perishable stored sustenance that you can grab, put in a book bag, and head out for 2 or 3 days if there's a disaster like a power outage or an ice storm or a coming tornado or a flood or a tsunami or whatever, we have an affiliate for you. The company is called NitroPack. Their banner is at xsquaredradio.com. And you can start small. You can start with a 72-hour pack. You can start with a water filter. You can start with some dehydrated food or MREs. Not only do they have fantastic prices, but in many cases they have free shipping. And, of course, you don't pay that pesky sales tax, so you keep the prices down. But their quality is magnificent. This is not a grab bag of old, outdated food that someone scooped up. This is top quality stuff. Don't make survival eating ants or worms or fouled water. This is where cholera comes from. Why not plan ahead, take a little bit of money out of each paycheck, or take that tax return that you're about to get back, that tax refund, or that bonus money, and go to NitroPack.com by clicking on the banner at X Squared Radio and pick up a little something that will make survival a little easier and survive with good stuff. And if you're going to get out this summer, you're going to be out in the surf, you're going to be diving or skiing or surfing or snow or wakeboarding or jet skiing, you're going to need something to protect you from the sun and help you survive in the water safely. We've got an affiliate called Wetsuit Warehouse. I got to tell you, this is the coolest place. The best wetsuits, fins, masks, all kinds of clothing to help you get by in the sun and surf. So check them out. It's they're called Wetsuit Warehouse. And if you're going to be hiking, and I highly recommend this, because if what they say is going to happen happens, and we have these solar conflagrations, or we have volcanoes erupting, or earthquakes, you know, nature is not going to be as enjoyable then as it is now. I highly suggest getting out of the mountains, taking a hike, get up there with your kids or with your brother and sister or your mom and dad, and while you're out there, you're going to be roughing it. So why not rough it easy and go to Moose Jaw? I know Moose Jaw is kind of a funny name, but so's Yahoo. So's Google. Come on. Moose Jaw is kind of the Google of outdoor gear. Why not rough it easy and go to Moose Jaw? Click on the banner, X Squared Radio. We have the best affiliates. We handpick them. We cherry pick them. No, we don't sell beds or insurance or gold or any of that garbage. We sell the stuff you need. So click on the affiliates. Get some good stuff to make it easy for you to do and to be and to hike and to be involved. In 2 weeks on the program, we have Danny and Brinkley coming on. I know you're familiar with him. If you're not, he's going to be on for an hour. Met him a couple of years ago at a venue where we were speaking together. Amazing man. Not his only claim to fame, but one is that he's been struck by lightning several times and died a couple of them. So he is an absolute magnetic and dynamic speaker on the subject of near-death experiences. One more hour to go here on X Squared Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And welcome back to X Squared Radio. This is where the past meets the future. It's also where you get to be involved in it. Phone lines are open all hour long. If you don't know the phone numbers, they can be had at bbsradio.com. And they can be had at xsquaredradio.com. Just spell it all out, xsquaredradio.com. This is the hour where normally we go past the imaginations of the listener, but the last hour was pretty hot. If you didn't get the last hour, or you missed it, or you just tuned in, you can go to x2-radio.com and you can subscribe to the archives. It's very inexpensive. If you want to do it for only a month, I don't think you can listen to 250 hours of content in a month, but if you want to just check it out, it's $2.50. Come on, it's cheaper than a grande latte. And if you want to tune in for a whole year, cruise in, cruise out anytime you like, it's $20. Come on, it's less than a bag of popcorn a month, and you get great entertainment, great knowledge, and great enlightenment. In this hour, I want to talk a little bit about past life explorations, not from the metaphysical point of view that you are accustomed to on other programs, but we're going to cover it from a mathematical point of view, a scientific point of view, and we definitely want your input. So please pick up the phone. If you have free nights and weekends, you can do this. It's not hard to do. If you are off planet or on planet, it doesn't matter. If you can get to a cell phone tower, you can get to us. The number is 530-776-5154. Pretty simple. And if that line's busy, you can try 530-413-4511. And if you absolutely have to have a toll-free number, you can do it from anywhere in the world, even Australia, 800-228-4494. 800-228-4494. And give us a call. You can tell us what you thought of the last hour, or you can even change subjects if you like. It's Easter Sunday. We've been talking a little bit in the last hour about resurrection. Not in the sense that, oh, you have to die and then you got to be born again and then you got to go through all those diapers and pimples and all that stuff and then you have to try to remember who you were. Not that resurrection. You've been resurrected already, right now, tonight. The old life is left behind. You died, you're back in the same house, in the same clothes, eating the same peas and carrots, but now you have new tools. Now you have a new outlook. You have been empowered to do something about it. So let's talk a little bit about past life explorations. You know, I've often heard people say, yeah, you know, in a past life I was a Roman commander, or in a past life I was a candle maker. And they kind of say it with their tongue in their cheek, you know, like, yeah, I sort of believe in multiple lives. I went to Rome one time, and I walked around the corner, and lo and behold, I saw this place, and I swear I'd been there before. I mean, I know I've never been to Rome. I know I've never seen it on TV, but I swear I remember it. I talk to people from time to time who really, because of their Christian dogma, cannot let themselves accept the idea that they've existed before. When I was raised Catholic, just to let you know, I was raised in a Catholic church. I was raised in Sunday school. I was taught about God and the priesthood and all of that, and even had some aspirations of being a priest one day, except I wanted to have a family and had four great kids and have three grandkids and have a lot of fun with them. They're amazing beings all, and I would not trade anything or any part of this life experience for any one of them. Okay, maybe one of them. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the point. The point is that somewhere in that religious training, there were these holes, there were these gaps, there were gaps in the fabric, places where it had been stitched together or patched. And I sort of let it go for a long time. I mean, many, many decades I let it go. I really didn't pay much attention to the holes, and I didn't mind the patchwork so much. It seemed to fit okay. And it was okay going to church every Sunday and listening to the songs and being involved in choir, just like you are, just like you were when you were a kid. Only somewhere in there, there was an echo. There was a sort of just out of reach voice, just out of reach memories that didn't fit where I was or who I was or where I had been. Was it real? Was it, shall we say, channeled information coming from another being? I don't think so. I don't think so, because I was getting smells. I was getting colors and sounds and places. In fact, when I learned to meditate when I was 17 years old, I picked up transcendental meditation because, my gosh, I had to do something, right? It was a good exercise. It put me in touch with a deeper, more quiet energy, and I learned to do it at will. I was introduced in this meditation all on my own to, shall I say, a higher self. Now, it doesn't take much exploration into this before you're introduced to one term or another. One of the terms is higher self. Another term is spirit guide. And we hear that from time to time. Does it make you feel uncomfortable? Yeah, it does me too sometimes. People say, well, you know, I was going to do this, but my guides told me that I really needed to go to the fair instead and not go to work. Yeah, my guides told me to sell my house and move into a teepee. Whatever. I can't be a judge on that because I'm not them. But I can say that it makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me a little wary that someone you can't see, someone you can't touch, comes to you in the middle of the night or the middle of meditation and tells you to do things or tells you not to do things. On the other hand, isn't God a little like that? I mean, when we sit down and say, now I lay me down to sleep, or whatever other prayer it is that you issue, every once in a while, more often than not, less often other times, you get an answer. You get a little voice. No, you really shouldn't go to the lake today. You should drive the truck today instead of the car. There might be an accident. The truck will protect you better. No, you really shouldn't make that investment. In fact, you should tell the vacuum cleaner salesman no, because you're going to need that money for something else. You know what I'm talking about. The little messages, the little guidances, the little premonitions. But those are kind of ones that you didn't ask for. You were saying, you know, I need this blessing, whatever you can give me. And then you get something. So, how do you focus it? How do you get through that and poke through the veil, shall we say, into the last life? Because, come on, if you're my age, I was born May 27th, 1888, you gain a lot of experience. And you want to be able to draw on that experience. It's called wisdom. It's the bumps on the knees. It's the stitches above the brow on your forehead. Well, gee, I'll remember to duck next time. You don't want to bring that forward. And you know, let's just assume, just for a moment, that you don't get just one life. Maybe you get two. Okay, mathematically speaking, if you get two, then you get 2 million. It's one or the other. You can't have both. You either get 2 million lives or you get one. Now, let me see a show of hands of those who sincerely believe they never existed before they coughed the last bits of amniotic fluid out of their lungs and took their first breath of earth air. I thought so. I don't see very many hands out there. All of you believe that you existed before you got here, in some form or another. Maybe I was in some spirit world, a guff or a gub of some form was waiting, like on a diving board, waiting to dive into a mortal body. But even that experience is a prior life. Even if you weren't in a physical body, even if you were in some energy form or some other dimensional form, you gained experience as you, John David, as you, Sally, or Deborah, or Savante. You were you. You gained experience. And that experience, more than likely, mathematically speaking, the probability is there that you had interaction with other beings. You were not alone in the cosmos, in the void, floating aimlessly with no perspective. You were around other beings like you. And maybe you loved. And maybe you lost. And maybe you had sadness and happiness and challenge, just like you do here. And maybe you gained experience and wisdom from that too. But now let's take that imagination, that equation, just a little bit further. Maybe you were physical. Maybe you did break the bones. Maybe you did have indigestion. Maybe you did lose your hair. Maybe you did get fat. Maybe you did lose a child. That experience built wisdom. It built mercy. It built patience. It built knowledge inside of you. It's one or the other. You either burst into your first existence and you will burst out of existence and disappear like a dead asteroid in the cold of space when you take your last breath and are put beneath the flowers or destroyed in the cremation oven. But then again, maybe not. Maybe you will exist beyond this. Can I see a show of hands of those of you who think you will live beyond physical death? Ah, I thought so. Almost unanimous. And I suspect the ones that didn't raise their hands only said so because they're having such a miserable time in this life, they want it to be over. So now we have mathematical equations and possibilities going in both directions, forward and backward in time. And by the way, just so you know, it's the same distance from Los Angeles to San Francisco as it is from San Francisco to Los Angeles. It doesn't matter. mathematically speaking, whether you go forward or backward in time. Makes no difference. They're equal. Ah, an equation, a relationship. Two sides of an equation, and I can do anything I want as long as I do the same thing to both sides, and the math will still work out. So now we have established that there is a past, and that there is a future, and that you have existed and will exist. You have loved. You have lost. You have had birth. And you have had friends. And you have had disappointment and success. What we want you to figure out how to do with this program is at least apply your imagination. But at the very most, we'd like you to learn some kind of meditation technique. Why meditation? Because it slows down the noise of this reality. It gets you out of the road rage. It shuts off the telephone. It tunes out the repetitive calling of your name. Mom, 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 mom. It gets you to the quiet mind. Not so that you can tune out everything. Only tune out the particle function and tune into the wave function of energy. The one that goes beyond time. The one that goes before birth. And tap into that past life exploration. One of our listeners named Gary wrote me the other day because he listened to a broadcast that we had back on January 11th where I came back from the year 2015. I was actually broadcasting to you from the year 2015. If you're listening to us on the Conscious Media Network, you didn't get that show because you only get 1 week at a time on this network. If you want to hear that program, you need to go to X Squared Radio and subscribe to the archives and listen to that program so you'll know what Gary's talking about. But this is why we're kind of doing this program tonight, because Gary wrote this question. He asked, was the present you able to talk to the future you? And if so, was the present you able to get answers to questions you may have asked from your future self? Well, you see, that's a very interesting perspective. Now, keep in mind that Gary asked the question based on an assumption that I was here looking into the future. Nice assumption, but it's wrong. I was there looking back to here. What I wanted to do was take a vision, an interaction, not a simple snapshot that I got in a dream, but an actual headlight version view of what I saw when I was in the year 2015 and bring it back to you here in the year 2009 so that you could see what had happened. Is it the future? Well, let's talk about this first one thing first. One does not make his way very far down the rabbit hole of this New Age genre before hearing about a universal being called his higher self. I think it is different than a guide, but we'll talk about the first one first. The future you. First of all, how many futures are there? Oh, that's a great question. And that depends entirely upon you. The potential of all potentialities is the theory. Here's the mathematics of it. Let's look at time going forward as a cone. Now, I don't know if you know what the equation to a cone is. It doesn't matter. But it has to do with 12 pi in the numerator, okay? So the idea is that some multiple of the diameter in cone mathematics, what you're basically doing is you're moving forward in time and you're increasing the radius of the circle at a certain rate. The cone can be sharp like a needle point, or it can be broad like a dunce cap. But the idea is, as you move forward in time, the radius expands at a, in this case, a fixed rate to infinity, to absolute infinity. Now, if you're standing in the bottom of the point of the cone and you're looking out at this expanding radius going out into space, what you will see is the potential of all potentialities. You can literally go anywhere you want inside the cone, and everywhere you go is a future. They all exist all the time, or the cone would not exist. So when you dream into the future, when you go into the future, you put your consciousness out there in a point in the future. There is a natural line that is drawn from that future point to where you are in the present. That line completely depends upon you, whether it's a jagged line, a straight line, a curve, a dashed line where you have to jump from stepping stone to stepping stone. And that we call a future thread, like a super string. It is a multidimensional string of energy that connects you with that future point. That's what makes a difference between whether you go to med school or whether you become an industrial engineer, whether you become a school teacher, or whether you become a freelance artist. How you travel that future thread is the forces that you put upon the potential of all potentialities. The idea behind this exercise is to let the future bring it to you as it is, uncolored, unforced by your way of achieving it. In other words, if I were to ask you, what is it you need? What is it your dream is? You would say, well, I want to have $1 million. Why? What's the $1 million for? Well, I want to travel the world. I want to go to Paris and study art, and I don't want to have to worry where my next meal's coming from. Well, you see what you did. The future point that you want to be at and do is to be the artist in Paris. The future thread was the $1 million. Now, here's the interesting thing. The universe doesn't resonate with the $1 million. It resonates just fine with being the artist in Paris, not having to worry where your next meal comes from. But you won't let the universe give it to you, because you will only accept the path in the form of $1 million. That's why you don't have it. So the number of futures depends completely upon you, and they all happen. It's your particle function that's moving between the wave functions, collapsing those futures into what you call reality. Now, in the beginning, I said that moving forward in time is like this cone theory. And I also said in that statement that the expansion of the radius was constant as you move forward. It's not necessarily so, because we make choices. And we also apply our consciousness, worry, hatred, love, happiness, sadness, disappointment. We apply our darkness or our light to that future. And so the expansion of the radius can vary. It can vary. We call this a parabolic cone. It's not straight-sided. The sides curve because we've changed the denominator. In a real cone, it's 12 diameters. In a parabolic cone, it can be 8 diameters or 7 diameters. You see how that changes as you move forward in time? And if you put the two together, you get something that looks a little bit like a caterpillar with segments crunched down and then expanded back out going forward. It's what we do to the future with our own intention. These future threads, these pathways that we can find in this travel through the potential of all potentialities are very much like crystals that water forms when it begins to freeze. One of my first, most favorite things to do in science was to take movies through a microscope of water freezing with polarized light. I was, I think I was 12 years old the first time that I was allowed to do this. the equipment was pretty sensitive, pretty delicate, and so my scientist friends, who obviously hung around with my brother, who was 9 years older than me, and a molecular biologist, but when you have a kid brother like me, wanting to hang out and wanting to do everything, I'm not always in the way. I like to do stuff. So they put me doing polarized photographs of, or movies of water crystallizing. The neat thing about it is that no two crystals were alike. They were like snowflakes under this microscope. The crystal would take off, you know, across the corn lens, and then it would make a sharp left-hand turn, and then Y, and then create a triangle and all these striations in it. It was just fascinating. Just fascinating. I took thousands of little Polaroid shots and micro movies of these crystals forming. And it was, I did a science project on it in the seventh grade, and it was a disaster because I didn't know how to write it up, but man, the pictures were fun. The future is like that. Unpredictable, so to speak. Random, so to speak. Chaotic, so to speak. But it wasn't. I didn't realize it then, but actually the environment affected which way the crystal would go and how it would form, whether it was chaotic or whether it was beautiful. And that environment includes the intention of the being that's near the water. Now, I assume I was a 12-year-old with no guile in my heart, and so what I was looking at was sheer beauty, but you can understand that there is documented proof, photographic proof from Dr. Emoto, that human intention does affect the outcome of the water crystal. Using the words, I hate you, at water and then freezing it creates a complete different crystal than water that's been told, I love you. I know you don't believe it, but it's true. And if you get a chance this summer, June 19th to the 21st, you're going to find this out at the H2O Live concerts. So all futures happen relative to us. And if that's the case, then there must be a range of pasts as well. And in fact, it's true. In the beginning of this hour, we were talking about standing in front of, at the very point of a cone and looking out toward the expanding future. And the future is what we can make it. I mean, literally, whatever we imagine and put our intention on and then work toward is going to happen. Like the song from the Moody Blues, you know, what you want to be, you will be in the end. However, when considering the future, we have to realize that it's always in motion. To quote my friend Yoda, it is a mathematical equation with really only one constant. That's you. No other being sees reality quite the way you do. The greenness of grass is unique to your brain. You are not a calibrated spectrometer. You cannot possibly take your version of green and transfer it into the mind of another human being. They're going to see a different green than you. I don't like raw tomatoes, but I have friends who will eat them off the vine. I don't like raw onions, but I love cooked onions. I love tomato sauce and peanut butter. I mean, come on, I have those things that are my reality. And yes, I like broccoli and asparagus. Okay, I heard that. You're saying yuck, but no, it's good stuff. Pasts are the same way. However, the pasts have been bracketed in by choice and experience. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about a two-dimensional line. No, not at all. It's more of a tube. Less choices than there are with the future, because you have interacted with matter, and you've interacted with energy, and you've made choices. But the past made an impression, a memory on you, an effect on you, but it wasn't the only energy available at that time. There's a range of choices there. So it is possible to go to the past and review an incident and change the way it affects you. You can change the past to a certain extent. No, you can't change what happened to others. You can't replace that fingernail that you lost when you hit it with the hammer. You can't replace that tooth you knocked out. You can't make that scar on your knee go away because you interacted with matter. But you can change the way it affected you. And that changes the future from that past, which is the present. And thus you have now altered all the futures that happen from this point forward. But let's take it back a little further. Let's go back to where choices were being made for you. You got the strained peas instead of the strained beef. That choice was made for you. You wore Huggies instead of natural cotton diapers. That choice was made for you. One might say that the life support system that kept your fetus alive from the point of two cells to the point of birth, that choice was made for you or not. That choice was made for you as well, but it might not have been. You might have been involved in that. That might have been a choice that you were involved in. But let's go back before that. Let's go back before there was a particle function into which to place your wave function. That is to say, the spirit that makes up you, John, that makes up you, Sally, and Ben, and June, that being existed before those two cells, those two bits of earth genetic material came together to provide a particle vessel for you to occupy. That consciousness existed before that time. And if that consciousness existed before that time, maybe it existed in spirit form, but I doubt it. And so do you. Now, go back before the death of the last particle function, the last biological transducer that you occupied. Was it a male body? Was it a female body? It doesn't matter. No matter. The experiences matter, of course. But it doesn't matter for you. You've been both, and many, I can assure you. Now, access them. How do you do that? How do you get back to the last biological transducer, otherwise known as a human body, that you possessed? What did you do in that life? What did you experience in that life? What was your being in that life? Do you have a grand propensity for playing the piano? Do you understand the mechanisms of machines and the intricacies of microscopic surfaces innately? Do you understand how pyramids are built and what forces two planets to revolve around one another? Do you have a great love for nature? Do you have an innate understanding of the psychology of beings? Do you have a drive to teach or a drive to learn? Do you think that these things came through the amino acids that make up your genetics? Or do you think it came through the energy that occupies the body in which you live? I think the latter. As soon as you quit denying that you are only the body that carries you around, as soon as you realize that you are not satisfied with the way it looks, it's too fat, it's too skinny, it doesn't have enough muscle, it doesn't have enough hair, I can't see well enough, I have pain with it, then you realize you are the creator, you are the shaper of that body. How you smile, how you walk, how you love, how you sit, how you sleep, whether you sleep or whether you don't sleep, has creation forces upon the particle function that is your body. The muscles that you strengthen and shape over the skeleton that makes up the body that you have is the creative force that makes your body. if you're hitting that Stairmaster or that bike or that treadmill or lifting those weights or walking around that park because you don't like the way you look, you're doing the right thing. You're shaping yourself. You're making yourself. You're creating yourself. That's the right thing. Do the same thing with your head. Pour the best books into it. Pour the best music into it. Smell the best flowers. Dance the best dances. And love the best way you can. Those are creative forces as well. And then in that meditative state, when you've tuned out all the Fox News and you've tuned out all the honks and exhaust fumes of your city, and you've tuned into that past thread, that past energy, that past memory that is you, the one that existed before you learned to speak the language you speak, the one you understood before the public school system indoctrinated you or the pastor told you who you were and what you were and how you were. Go back before that, in that meditation, and you will meet yourself. And you will meet yourself again and again and again. And you will gain knowledge and wisdom of the ages. Why do you think a small colonial new country formed out of conflict and covenant chose ancient architecture for its capital city? Because it wanted to bring the wisdom and experience of the ancients forward so that we would be respected as a nation and that we would respect ourselves as one who had ancient roots. You do, and you are. So reach back. See if you can find it. Without fear, please. Full of love. And you will find it. And it is true. And this is why you are here and why you are listening to this program at this time. Because everything happens exactly when it's supposed to happen, and you are supposed to do something, and you are supposed to be something. Many of you listening to this program did not have to come back here. You came here to help others. You didn't come to learn yourself. You already know, but there are millions who don't, and they need you. And that's why you are here. And the ones who need to know probably work in the place where you work, or go to church where you go to church, or walk the same park where you walk, or take the same art class, or listen to the same music, or travel the same highway to work. Join a carpool and try to affect the universe, because everything you do will eventually affect it. So do it on purpose. I can tell you, my friends, it's been such a pleasure to be with you the last 4 years, and I'm looking forward. As long as this venue exists, we will be here. We'll be waiting for your phone call and your email, and you can always reach us. We read everyone. We answer everyone. So please take the initiative and make contact. And next week on X Squared Radio, we will have Jose Arguelles' Biography of a Time Traveler, written by Stephanie South. I promise you, you will never hear a radio interview like this one. He doesn't do radio interviews, and he's getting on up in years. He's not going to be in this form very much longer. Tune in and get this interview in your head. We'll see you then. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth.
If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.